So yesterday I mentioned that mindfulness is not so much a fixed state or quality that we're trying to achieve, but instead a way of relating to our experience, being present with whatever's happening as it's happening with an attitude of non-reactivity or kind curiosity, as I like to say, because sometimes people misunderstand mindfulness as a way of distancing themselves from experience, developing a distant, detached, cold or clinical attitude to whatever's happening. So I use this term kind curiosity to bring in a bit of warmth, a subtle flavor of metta or kindness, as I spoke about last night. And there's a second very common misunderstanding about mindfulness meditation, that it's just about paying attention to the breath. And if we're aware of anything other than the breath, then we're not meditating. And even very experienced meditators can have a template in their minds that good meditation means locking the attention on the breath and keeping it there. And that the aim of meditation is somehow to try and get rid of thinking. So then deep practice is about trying to make the mind go blank. But this is a misunderstanding of two slightly different but closely related aspects of insight meditation. One is sati, usually translated as mindfulness, as I mentioned the other day. And the other is samadhi, usually translated as concentration. But that's not such a helpful translation, because in English, the word concentration tends to have connotations of sort of fixed brow, furrowed brow, fixed focus on something. So when people hear the need to develop more concentration, they often try to narrow their attention and force it to stay connected to whatever it is they're trying to pay attention to, usually the breath. And as many of you know from your own experience, that kind of forced attention just creates a buildup of tension, of tightness, aversion, and resistance in the mind, which gets in the way of clear seeing, of insight. So instead of thinking of samadhi as concentration, many teachers now refer to it as stability of mind or steadiness of mind, unification of mind or absorption. Because all these terms are pointing to the mind's ability to stay steady with whatever it is we're paying attention to, rather than being scattered or distracted and jumping all over the place. And it's true that as this quality of samadhi gets stronger, it can be experienced as varying degrees of deep absorption, the pleasant mental states that are known as jhana. And in some of these states, thinking activity does drop away completely. But this depth of samadhi is not necessary for insights to occur. We do need some samadhi, some stability of mind, though. Otherwise, the mind won't settle and we won't be able to see clearly. This is why most beginning meditation instructions do start by asking us to pay attention to the breath, and when the mind wanders, to gently bring it back. And that's the kind of instruction I've been giving at the start of this retreat. The purpose of it is to cultivate some stability of mind, some steadiness, as a support for the sati, the mindfulness, so that when the attention has become more steady and stable, we're able to open up the awareness to include a wider and wider range of our experiences. So coming back to the wheel model that I gave you yesterday, you might remember in that diagram how we started with the breath and the body at the center of the wheel. These are aspects of the first establishment of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body. Then yesterday afternoon, we moved a little further out from the center of the wheel to start bringing mindfulness to sense contacts and feeling tones, or vedana. And vedana, or feeling tones, are the second establishment of mindfulness. And because feeling tones so quickly and easily give rise to reactivity, we do need some steadiness of mind to be able to stay present to them without moving into those common reactions of greed, hatred, and delusion. So samadhi then is stability of mind, which we use as a support for sati, or mindfulness. And as I've been trying to emphasize, mindfulness is not a static quality. It can be responsive and flexible. And depending on what's happening in our practice at any given time, we can adjust the field of our awareness to suit the overall quality of our minds. So as an analogy, we might think of mindfulness as being like the lens of a camera. Sometimes we can zoom in very closely to the experience and see and experience all the tiny details there, like the macro setting on a camera. And we can become aware of an extraordinary level of minute detail that's quite fascinating. And this zooming in can happen quite naturally at times. But at other times, that kind of precision can become tiring to sustain. So if we notice the mind getting sort of narrow or tight, we might need to metaphorically open up the lens and take a more wide angle or panoramic approach. And when the lens of mindfulness is wider, we're taking in a broader range of objects. So it usually doesn't feel as focused or concentrated as when we're zooming into just one aspect of experience. But it is still mindfulness. It's just taking in more of our experience. And because of that relative expansiveness, it can help the mind to relax. We simply settle back and receive whatever experiences present themselves at any of the sense doors. The drawback of this wide-angle approach is that sometimes that spaciousness can slide into spaciness or spacing out. So if we notice this happening, we might then need to come back to a more focused approach again, to choose just one object to pay attention to, such as the breath. And we stay there, stay with that object to help build up the samadhi, the stability of mind again. Then when the samadhi is steady, we can experiment once more with letting the mindfulness connect with a broader range of experiences, generally with whatever is predominant. So in this next sitting, I'll be giving instructions that start with mindfulness of breathing in the way we've been habitually doing it. Then I'll open up to physical sensations again, and then the experience of hearing, of sounds, so starting to bring in the sense door, the ear sense door. And using sound as an anchor can help the mind relax, because unlike the breath, we can't control sounds. All we can do is settle back and receive whatever sounds arise. So that simple receptivity, we're still practicing bare awareness. We don't need to follow the sound or identify the sound or get lost in whether that motorbike was a Suzuki or a Ducati. We just simply know, hearing, 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 for as long as the sound lasts. And if no sounds are predominant, then we just come back to the home base of the breath. So that's a general overview of what we'll be doing. Are there any questions about anything I've just offered?